Myanmar.
Listening to that is Maung Zani, human rights activist and genocide scholar from Myanmar. Give us a bigger picture, if you can. Welcome to the programme. We got a close-up look at what life is like for one rebel group, at least. Give us the picture across the country.
Well, the military that has had a very tight rein on the country since 1962, that's a little over 60 years, is on a back foot because the whole country has risen up. All the young men and women have taken up arms since the coup in 2021. And the military is losing territories, particularly in the non-Burmese ethnic regions, peripheral regions, but they still maintain a very tight control of the predominantly Burmese majority cities and commercial centers such as Yangon, Mandalay, Taungji. Your correspondent spent time in Kayah State and Shan State. But the one state that is causing major the headache and hard pains is Rakhine State in Western Myanmar. As you know, Rohingya people have suffered a genocidal destruction in 2017, and Myanmar is currently in the merit phase of the International Court of Justice case filed by Gambia. So the last 5 days, over 150,000 Rohingya, mostly Muslims, have been forcibly displaced from their town called Maundo. And this time, it's not Burmese military that is responsible for the mass displacements, which is itself an atrocity crime, but by one of the ethnic armed resistance group named Arakan Army, representing Rakhine Buddhist nationalists. And so I think that overall, the situation is a positive development. The military is losing territories and losing grip. The troops are suffering massive depletion of fighting force. That's why the military brought in this forced mass conscription across the country. So the UN Human Rights Commissioner has issued a high-risk genocide situation warning for Rakhine State, and former the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Human Rights, Yang He Lee, has also raised similar concerns. And so I think that the genocidal situation that is re-emerging under the cover of civil war in Rakhine State is something that needs to be addressed.
And the point you make about an ethnic army carrying out abuses against the Rohingya underlines, I suppose, that yes, the military are carrying out abuses, and we've heard about air raids in which civilians have died, but rebel groups too are perpetrating atrocities.
That's correct. I think I would not say all the rebel groups. I think although I'm a scholar and human rights activist, I support the people's armed struggle because the non-violent struggles have been crushed repeatedly for the last 60 years. And so I commend the young people who have given up everything to take up arms and end the military dictatorship and the genocidal regime. But what I'm saying, and let me stress this, Arakan Army and the leadership has displaced a very, very worrying racist, genocidal racism toward the Muslims of Rakhine State. They don't even recognize Rohingya people by their own name. This is the group that has been declared by the International Court of Justice as a protected group under the Genocide Convention. Mm. So that intercommunal thing is very worrying. And this time, yes, you are absolutely right. The freedom-fighting Arakan Army is the one responsible for burning down almost entire town of Budhi down and looting and forcibly displacing over 150,000 people to places with no food or water. So this is an atrocity crime, similar to what Israeli army has been doing to the Gazan population, although this issue has not hit that level of the international attention.
And Mung, we don't have the Arakan army here to respond to those specific allegations, but let me ask you this. Is there a relatively straightforward path back to peace for Myanmar, or do you foresee conflict persisting for a long time?
There is a path to peace. A number one problem, let me stress this, number one problem is the intransigence of the Burmese junta that refused to enter into dialogue with all groups, not just this or that group, all groups. And so, you know, the civil war, all wars end through negotiation unless we can have a zero-sum solution and the military is defeated. In my perspective, the Burmese military has nowhere to go. They are not occupying force from a different country. They're from the country. So we need to give them a way out. And also we need to get the Asian powers like, China, India, particularly in the neighborhood, to come to realize that they cannot do business in the country where the whole country is, you know, in flame in civil war. They need to call for basically and hold an international peace conference to address this issue where they bring everybody. But the military is not likely to collapse, although American and other people think it's going to collapse. But they have nowhere else to go. I mean, Cambodia's situation, 40 years ago was very similar. And that was finally addressed through an international conference. But Burma, of course, has the far greater number of armed groups. But that still does not preclude the fact that this can be ended peacefully.
With greater
China,
sort of international,
India and ASEAN.
Yeah, greater international interventions, as you're saying. Mung Zani, thank you so much indeed. Human rights activist and genocide scholar.
This is News Day here on the BBC.